Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks mix, 13 minutes to go ahead of the close on this Wednesday. The Dow and S&P lower, NASDAQ is higher. Oil slumping, Brent crude below $45 a barrel, first time that has happened since November. Now at $44.81, down 2.6%. West Texas Intermediate crude, $42.55 a barrel, down 2.2%. Gold up $3.50 the ounce to $12.47, up 0.3%. The 10-year yield, 2.16%. Equities mix, NASDAQ up 45, up 0.7%. S&P down a point, down 0.1%. Dow Industrials down 57, a drop there of 0.3%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Well, this portion of Bloomberg Markets is brought to you by BlackRock. Worried about market volatility, minimum volatility strategies may be able to help. To learn more, please visit BlackRock.com/factors, prepared by BlackRock Investments, LLC.
We want to talk a little bit about the markets in particular. Doug Scioca back with us, CEO, partner at Capital Partners, managing more than $500 million in assets based in Leawood, Kansas, back in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Nice to have you back with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We were just saying how fast the year is going.
Yes.
Whizzing by. You still like investing in what some call the sin sector of the equity market.
We have. I mean, to sort of cushion the title, we've come to describing them as self-indulgent consumer staples.
Come on. Tobacco, alcohol.
Yes. Junk researching food, these names alone is good fun. If you're looking for a new research analyst, just let me know.
That's right. Market research.
He doesn't need anything that's not, you know, organic or...
I would imagine he has to fit in out in San Francisco.
Exactly. Why is that? You know, it's funny. I looked at a couple different things. I was looking at, like the tobacco sector. It's done, I don't know, up 180% since the end of 2008 versus about 170% move higher for the S&P 500, up 5% so far this year. But it's just, people still smoke. They still drink.
People do still smoke and drink. And I think that type of behavior is inherently predictable, certainly more predictable than that of looking at charts and trying to understand markets and monetary policy and the like. And I think right now in tobacco in particular, you're at the stage of the cycle where it is ripe for consolidation, right? Anytime historically there had been threats to their existence, they more than overcame them because they had the deep enough pockets to make modification to the business model. So years ago it was, well, geez, Marlboro's can't compete with Basics. Well, guess what? Altria and Marlboro and Basics. And then we can't compete with smokeless tobacco. So U.S. tobacco was sold to Altria. So now they had rolled up Copenhagen and Marlboro's. And then they think about down the line, right? A lot of people are certain, and I'm certainly one of them, that in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have legalized not just medicinal but recreational marijuana across the country. And
right.
Certainly tobacco companies are uniquely placed from the standpoint of production and distribution and farming and allocation of acreage. And so they have been able, over the course of decades, to reinvent themselves. That has allowed their business and their profit model, a lot of which is comprised of high dividend and free cash flow, to be sustained.
Well, it's interesting, too, and I think about all those big, you know, the big lawsuits, right, way back when, how many years ago, 20-something years ago?
1996, it was the master settlement.
And we thought it would be kind of maybe the end of the tobacco industry, and it wasn't.
It wasn't. In fact, it was probably the poster child for economic critical codependency between industry and government, because all these 46 states that were party to that master settlement agreement then went out, and what they did is they sold revenue anticipation notes. Mm-hmm. So they knew they had these payments coming from the liability to the states. So in advance of that revenue being recognized, the states went and sold bonds. So they knew that the government, federal partner to that proposition, couldn't put them out of business.
Right.
So I don't know how much a pack of cigarettes is in New York City right now, but I guarantee you 75% of that price is going to different taxing entities that are all taking their little bite of the apple or their puff on the cigarette.
It's kind of brilliant.
Well, I mean, let's get back to the marijuana thesis here, right? So, and I'm not because I'm in San Francisco, where it's more legal than other places. But it's not fully legal here in any conceivable way. There are requirements around, you know, what, I don't know, about, you have to have some kind of medical card or something else. The distribution is very closely regulated and taxed. And it's a business that has super high margins still, so you can understand the business rationale for a big cigarette maker to come in and do that. But they haven't been able to do that in any way. And when you're making an investment, you know, I can't imagine a scenario you're describing happening in the next 20 years. So how do you make an investment based on that? You know, tell me my time frame is wrong, and I'd love it if you would. But, you know, how do you make an investment based on that possibility?
I don't think you do, Corey. I was using that more as a hypothetical, that different challenges to their industry existence and its perpetuation, their ability to innovate and grow market share and maintain that cash-generating capability that they possess. I think that the one impediment right now with marijuana, of course, is it's not federally legal. So you can put into any different types of speculation, different business plan components, but until you can actually run product through your bank that's federally chartered, that you know, right, that could be
without the bank having a too much assets in one territory or one business unit, which is the FDIC hates, and also not having it completely stripped of its title, which is with this administration is a worry.
You bet. Absolutely. So I don't want to say that the cigarette company is dependent upon the legalization of marijuana, because I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I actually think what's happening now, and Reynolds American is one of the largest soon-to-be non-collaboratively owned tobacco companies, but they're going to be property of British American Tobacco. So that deal is going to close sometime this year. It just seems to me that the sector is ripe for that kind of consolidation, because when you think about where we are just in general, if you're looking internationally for steady growth but pretty low inflation, if you're thinking about this globally synchronized monetary policy tightening that's going to be implemented in a pretty delicate fashion, you're going to have to find companies that have the ability to address the consumer tastes, not just what they're buying, but how they're buying it.
Right.
And I think that's what we're seeing in this state of the economy. The consumer, whether it's staples or discretionary, is still going to be in charge.
What do you make of this market environment?
Yeah, I think it's pretty fascinating. I think, right, the market has been loathed really since its bottom 8.5 years ago, right? And so many people looked at what had propped the market up, whether it was low interest rates, whether it was just speculative buying just coming off of a 60% decline, whether it was now of late the new Trump trade that's infusing some sense of optimism and animal spirits that everyone talks about. Right? I think what's happening, despite all of those headlines of negativity that are probably not sustainable, is an actual increase in earnings. And we saw the point of the cycle where we are in the steepest part of the recovery curve, and maybe that low-hanging fruit has already been picked. But now we're in the financial engineering piece. Now we're in the redetermination, re-understanding of how money is going to be spent in this economy. Look what happened with Amazon and Nike this morning, and to me it's saying innovation is afoot. we need to make sure that we're not just thinking about old school types of business models and their valuation, but how the changing economy is really going to be addressed.
How does that shape then your investment decisions?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've broadened out from just more of a domestically focused equity orientation to weaving in something with a more of an international component to it as well. Mm. We think with the tightening that's taking place around the world in developed economies, there are a lot of economies that are not participating, that are still at that stimulative point, that really do offer higher expected returns.
So Europe.
Europe, absolutely, and even some of the periphery Europe, and even some of the issues of the fallout for Brexit, and even some of the interesting things that people are talking about with Spain and with Scotland, and whatever emancipation propositions that they may actually represent. So, yeah, we think those are very, very interesting areas right now.
And again, so when you try to imagine these things, you're looking for sort of dividend growth or free cash flow growth sometime in the next couple of years?
Yes, sir.
Good answer. That's my man.
We are.
I
think it's difficult, right, at this point of the cycle to anticipate and incorporate much in the way of multiple expansion, right? So in absence of multiple expansion.
Just get about 20 seconds.
You just want to make sure you're buying specific opportunities and not broad markets. And I think if you can stick to the quantitative underpinnings of your expected return and less qualitative, you're going to have a lot less disappointment moving forward in the next 2 to 3 years.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Doug Scioca, Chief Executive Officer, Partner at Caver Capital Partners, roughly $600 million in assets under management, based in Leawood, Kansas, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Wednesday. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.